Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful worship and praise. Thank you, folks, so much for being here. I want to do something. I know that we've heard a lot about passion already, but listen, I want to do something that the Bible, I believe, is biblical. The Bible tells us to honor people, that we're to honor people that God is using in a big way. So here's what I want to do. If you are a leader at Passion Camp, I want to invite you up to the platform. If you are a leader, so make your way kind of quickly if you don't mind. So listen. Jesus said, he looked at Peter and he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And we know that Jesus is the rock, amen? But here's what I want you to know. I was in Passion for a week. I'll be honest with you, it's been 25 years since I've been to a youth camp, and now I know why. But no, listen, I was there for support and just encouragement, and I just observed, and here's what I want you to know. These are rock stars. These are rock stars, not the rock star that we're used to talking about. No, these are stars for Jesus. They did an incredible, incredible job. Listen, we took 84 students and leaders to Daytona Beach. And we had 20 students make decisions for Christ. And that was in large part, probably mainly, not so much what happened in the arena, which kind of set the tone, but what happened after that night, after the session for the day. These leaders would gather their students and they would get them in groups and they would just minister to them. And saw God do some incredible, incredible things. So, guys, I'm honored. I'm so proud of you. I know that I shared that on the last day. But, you guys are champions. And I want to give a shout-out to Pastor Gibby for leading the charge. And it was an incredible. Gibby, you want to share anything?
Yeah,
you had
sure.
The mic.
Laura Rankin's out there too. She
yes.
is one of our leaders.
Laura.
Oh, look at Lauren. Where's Lauren? Or maybe. I mean, she's amazing. Amazing too. So I just want to say this team is an amazing team. I feel like I have a great team every time I go, but I want to give you one thing that they do. They probably didn't even notice that they did. But me and Stephanie and Haley, she's in the nursery. You guys give her some thanks too. We had a really hard night. Like, one of our students was struggling, and so I knew she was struggling. So I said, hey, you guys, we're going to have to go, and we're going to pull her to the side. Had nothing to do with camp, just her personal life. And we spent 2 hours in a tough conversation. I mean, it was so tough. I don't want to bring you into that because I just want you to know it was tough. And so it was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm coming out of this tough conversation with a student and just drained it really. But when I walk out the door and I step into the hallway, these guys were still up waiting on us to come out of that conversation. And you don't understand how, I mean, I just walked around the corner and I was like, you guys waited up for us? It was such an encouragement to see them, even though they weren't in the room. They were outside just, you know, anxious and waiting on us to come out and just support, you know, the support we had. Every single time I needed something, these guys were here, they're there. You don't understand, people say, you know what, I'd love to sign up for a beach camp. I want to go to the beach for the week. You may want to question that, right, guys? I think I stepped on the beach one time the whole time I was there. But it's not about the beach.
Right.
It's not about the pool. It's about the students. And we just served and served and served. And it's not a vacation.
That's right.
It's actually a ministry. And so we just appreciate you guys and appreciate all these leaders right here because I couldn't have done it without them.
Amen. Folks, let's let these leaders that are pouring into the next generation know how much we appreciate. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Again, you guys are rock stars. And God used you in a big way. And I know that you're still in recovery mode. So listen, it's from can to can't when you go to youth camp. And these students have come back different than the way they left because they had an encounter with Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your copy of God's Word. And I want you to stand to your feet. And I know that our outline says Luke 16, 19 through 23, but we're going to read more scripture. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get you a pen. Listen, open up the Word. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we've got them back here on the table. We believe in having a hard copy, if you will, of the Word of God, something that you can mark in, something you can take notes in, something that you can, make your own. If you say, Pastor, I forgot my Bible at home, well, be sure to get one and use it and then just drop it back off at the table. If you say, Pastor, I don't even have a Bible, well, now you do. Please take one of these as a gift from us. And somebody says, Pastor, I don't have a Bible that I can mark in and write in. Well, I would encourage you to get one that you can. I want you to make your Bible your own, because when you mark it up and God speaks to you, years later, you'll flip through there and you'll recollect that time when God met with you. So, hey, can I get some more house lights? Because listen, I want people to be able to see the Word of God. And I know that we're challenged with some of the equipment we have here with it being like overly bright. But I just want us to be able to see the Word of God. And I want to read all the way down from verse 19 to verse 31, because I believe it's important that we get the whole context. Sometimes as pastors, we give you a snippet and then try to build on it, and it's broken down in there a little bit. But before I start reading, I want you to know something very interesting about this story that Jesus told. Jesus was known for telling parables. And what a parable is, it's an earthly story that that ain't something that didn't actually happen, but it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so that people can make the connection with what they knew here, but it had a heavenly meaning. This story here that we're about to read about the rich man and Lazarus is actually, according to historians, Bible theologians, and great Bible scholars, is an actual true story. It's not a parable. It is an actual true story because they believe that because Jesus actually used a name, a man's name. This is not the same Lazarus that was his friend that died and he resurrected. This was another man named Lazarus. So that's an interesting story. This is an actual true story. So the content here is going to be actuality, places and people. This is what it said beginning in verse 19. It says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores. The man couldn't even walk. He had to be carried. And he had to be laid at this man's gate. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. What's interesting about that, I always want to know, he was at the gate, so how could he get the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? In that culture, in biblical times, they didn't have utensils like we have. They would eat with their hands. And the very wealthy would wipe and clean their hands on chunks of bread and throw it out. So this man was longing to eat a piece of bread that this man had cleaned his hands on. That's how bad off and bad of shape this man Lazarus was. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now Abraham's bosom is reference to heaven or paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able to. Why would anybody want to be able to leave heaven and go to hell? I'll tell you why. Because they got loved ones there, people they care about, and they would do anything to deliver them from this pit, from this fiery torment for all of eternity. But there's this chasm fixed so that no one can come over. So that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham. For if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you, God, for our time of worship. I pray that it was pleasing to you. Now, Lord, I believe our hearts are prepared and open and ready to receive your word. Now, God, I ask that it finds a resting place in the hearts and lives of these beautiful, amazing people that I love dearly. And God, may they not hear my voice. May they hear your voice, the voice of the precious Holy Spirit. May their ears be open and attentive. And God, we ask you these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I hope you got your pen, pencil, highlighters, everything, because we're going to be digging in to this story and to the Word of God. And I do want to give a shout out to one of our elders, Elder Brian White, who brought the message last week and did an amazing, amazing job and challenging us to be, yes, let's give, he's not here today. So listen, the word will get back to him that people were very much encouraged by his message and challenged to have a passion for evangelism. Folks, there needs to be a passion in the church to reach lost people. But here's what I've learned after doing this for over 30 years now, is that evangelism and other spiritual disciplines, but especially evangelism, is one of those things kind of like exercise. It's one of those things kind of like eating right. It's one of those things that we know we should be doing, but we're not doing it. And just like exercise and taking better care of yourself and eating right and doing those things that we should be doing, sometimes we need a little motivation. We need some motivation. Listen, nothing motivates somebody to get better in better shape and better physical condition than a health scare, right? Yeah. And so I want to give you a little motivation.